This morning I'm in a series called Overwhelmed. And I think we've got a lot of people who are feeling overwhelmed right now. And I know what it's like to feel overwhelmed. And I also know what it's like in those seasons of life when there are times when I just want to run away from all my problems. Anybody ever wanted to just run away? Come on, you know and I know that sometimes the easiest thing to do would just be to tuck tail and run away. Talking about, where's Pastor Josh? I don't know. He done R-U-N-N-O-F-T. He run off. He's gone. All right. Sometimes we want to run away. And today I want to look at the story of David, because David was a man on the run. I heard about a man who was driving his brand new BMW down the interstate. And he decided that he wanted to see what his brand new Beamer could do, so he gripped the steering wheel and revved the engine, and in just a few seconds, he was going over 100 miles an hour. And he was feeling pretty good until he noticed some blue lights in his rearview mirror. But instead of pulling over like a normal person would do, he only drove faster, and a chase ensued. After 20 minutes at a breakneck pace, his BMW ran out of gas, and the man was forced to pull over. The patrolman approached him, weapon drawn, and he demanded, "You better give me a good reason why you ran from me." And he said, "Well, officer, last week my wife ran off with a cop, and I thought you were bringing her back." He was a man on the run. I've known people personally who have run from their problems. Teenagers who have ran away from a troubled home, men who've run out on their families, people in trouble who left town in the middle of the night running from the law. When I was in high school, the girl in our church actually went missing, and we found out a week later that she had been having an affair with one of her high school teachers, and they ran away together. There are many reasons why people run, but there are also many ways in which people run. Because some of you might be in the same place right now that you've always been, but emotionally and spiritually, you're on the run right now. When a wife builds an emotional wall to keep her husband out, she's running. When a young man refuses to grow up holding on to video games instead of holding down a job, he's on the run. When a man chooses to drink instead of working through his own issues, he's running. There's more than one way to run from your problems. When we don't deal with our own issues, when we don't face the consequences of our decisions, when we fail to take responsibility for our own actions, we're running. And here in 1 Samuel 27, David was a man on the run. Now let me say this. David had it tough. This had been a long, difficult time in David's life. And what had happened is that God had rejected Saul from being king over Israel. And David had been anointed to take his place. So David had been anointed as the rightful king of Israel. But guess what? Saul didn't step aside and said, "Okay, David, you take over." No, Saul was a sore loser. In fact, Saul tried to kill David. And for 10 years, yes, 10 years, for 10 years, David has been pursued by Saul. And for 10 years, God has protected him and delivered him, but things were starting to take a toll on David. If you read the previous 9 chapters of 1 Samuel, it's like the plot of an action movie, okay? David was hunted down. He was pursued. He was attacked. He had these daring, elaborate escapes. He built an army. He won battles. But 9 straight chapters of pulse-pounding action. And that kind of action is good for the movies, but it takes a toll on real people. Has anybody here ever felt like you were living in a movie? Anybody, even in bad movies? Listen, I thought I was living in a movie. It sounded glamorous until you find out that you're not getting paid, you don't have any fans, and there are no stunt doubles. And that's where David is. He's tired, and life has taken a toll on him. And this is what I've observed. When you're tired, you're vulnerable. When you're tired, you're vulnerable. When you're tired and when you're discouraged, that's when you're most susceptible to the attack of the enemy. And it was in this season of exhaustion and discouragement that David made some of the worst decisions of his life. And here's the deal. There will be times when you will be frustrated and tired and discouraged. Welcome to Generation Church. We make you feel real good about yourself. Mark my words, there will be times when you're like David. You're tired and you're frustrated and you're discouraged. I wish I could tell you other lies, but there will be times in your life when you're tired, you're fed up, and you want to run away. Yeah. It happens to all of us. And that's why I'm so thankful that we have the Word of God in front of us this morning, because we don't have to make the same mistakes that David made. It's been said that a fool learns from his own mistakes, but a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. Well, let's be wise this morning and let's learn from the mistakes that David made in 1 Samuel 27. So briefly this morning, I want to give you things to remember when you want to run. Things to remember when you want to run. Number one, focus on the promise, not the problem. David had some big problems, but David also had some big promises. Mm-hmm. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. For every problem, there is a promise. For every problem, there is a promise. Because there's never been a problem that's taken God by surprise. Okay? God is not surprised by your situation. There's no problem that takes God by surprise. He's not caught off guard by what you're dealing with right now. God knows it, and for every problem in your life, there is a promise of God for you. And if you don't know anything else, you can know this. God has promised that I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. When you face life's problems, do not forget about God's promises. David had a lot of problems. He had a lot of issues. Think about it. He had money problems. He had issues with his soldiers. He was betrayed by his friends. He was pursued by Saul. He had baby mama drama. David had it all. Okay? He had a lot of problems, and 10 years is a long time. David struggled with these things for 10 years straight. But in that 10 years, God had also did some incredible things in David's life. God used David to defeat the giant Goliath. God used David to defeat the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. Every time that Saul came after David and tried to kill him, God was there to intervene and protect him. And God provided for David time and time and time again. It's true that life had been tough at times, but God had also been very good to David. And why is it that we as human beings tend to forget the good and focus on the bad? Why? Anybody ever wondered that? When we go through stuff in life, we don't think about the good stuff that God has done. We don't think about the blessings. We don't think about the favor. We don't think about the provision. All we think about is the problem and how bad things are. We're surrounded by blessings, yet we focus on the negative. And I tell you the truth this morning, you're more blessed than you think you are. You are more blessed than you think you are. You are more blessed than you think you are. Come on, somebody say, I'm blessed. You might be thinking, well, I'm poor, I'm struggling, I don't have anything. Let me ask you something. How many of you in this room have ever thrown away something in your refrigerator that was left over because it had gone bad? Anybody? Guess what? Poor people don't do that, because poor people don't have enough food to have leftovers in the first place. Listen to me. You're more blessed than you think you are. Learn to recognize the blessings of God in this season. Focus more on the promise and less on the problem. Come on, tell somebody, I'm blessed. Tell them you're blessed. Listen, Jesus told he didn't tell the story. The Bible records what happened in the life of Jesus. One day, 10 lepers came to him and cried out for healing. You know what Jesus did? He healed all of them. Because that's his style. Jesus never encountered a sick person that he didn't heal. When Jesus healed one, he healed everybody. Y'all remember in school when you got caught with some candy and the teacher said, did you bring enough for everybody? When Jesus brought healing, he always brought enough for everybody. If he healed one, he healed the multitude. How do you know if Jesus came through a village? I'll tell you how you knew, because there won't no sick people there anymore. Jesus is the healer. And when he met the 10 lepers that day, he healed all 10 of them. All 10 were healed, but only one came back and said, thank you. How many times in your life has God answered a prayer that you prayed and you didn't even acknowledge him and thank him for it? There's time after time after time in my life where I have prayed for things. And then it's dawned on me, on my thick head, months later, you know what? God answered that prayer in my life, and I didn't even realize it. How many times has God blessed you, and you haven't even said, thank you? I'll tell you why most of us don't tell him thank you, why most of us don't realize, because when God does the good things, we're so busy focusing on the negative things that we don't even see the hand of God working in our situation. Instead of talking about your problems all the time, I dare you to start talking about the promises of God regarding your situation. Stop talking death and start speaking life in Jesus' name. Claim the promises of God for yourself and declare them over your life. Listen, I can tell you where you're going in life. All I have to do is listen to you talk. You can tell the direction somebody's life is going in by the things that they say. And I'll tell you why. There's a principle found in the Word of God in Proverbs 18:1. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's an incredible statement. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And last week I talked about how you have to do what you can do. There are some things in your situation that only God can do, but there are other things that God expects you to do. Come on, tell somebody, you got to do your part. And listen, you might not be able to change your situation, but you can change this right here. You can change the words that are coming out of your mouth. You might not have control over anything else, but my Lord, you can control your tongue. You can speak things that produce life, but you can speak things that produce death. Maybe you're here today and you're unhappy with your life. You might be surprised at how much your life will change if you change the way you talk. Often problems in life can be traced back to things people say. And that is true of David in 1 Samuel 27. Look at verse 1. Look at what David said to himself. He said, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. That's what David said. Is that what God said? No, God said, in fact, God had promised David the exact opposite. David said, Saul's going to destroy me. God said, Saul will never touch you. God had promised David, I will make you king over Israel. And people reminded David of what God said. Jonathan reminded him in 1 Samuel 23:17, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. He had friends who reminded him of what God had promised him. Even his wife-to-be, Abigail, promised him, reminded him of God's promise. 1 Samuel 25:28, she said, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. And evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man is risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living. I like that. Bind me in the bundle of the living. With the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. David had the promises of God, but instead of listening to the promises and speaking the promises of God, instead he listened to the lies of the enemy. And that's exactly what doubt is. Doubt is putting your faith in the enemy. Now, I understand that we all get tired and we all get discouraged, but don't settle for a lie when you've got the truth. When you're tired and when you're discouraged, you need to guard your heart and guard your mind, and for heaven's sake, watch your mouth. Amen. Come on, you have my permission one day only. Tell your neighbor, you got to watch your mouth. I'm sorry if I just created marital strife there, but listen, that's the word from the Lord today. We have to watch what we say. Amen. For every problem, God has a promise. You might not like the problem, but what you need to understand is that your promise is connected to the problem. That's how God works, because God works all things for our good. When you have a problem come into your life, God connects a promise to that problem. So the truth is, when you run away from the problem, you're also running away from the promise. Yes, David had problems, but he had a promise greater than the problem. Things to remember when you want to run. Number one, focus on the promise, not the problem. Number two, don't take the easy way out. Don't take the easy way out. I want to rent a billboard and put this up there for everybody in Goldsboro to read. Do not take the easy way out. I am tired of dealing with people who are ruining their own lives because when they face a little bit of pressure and opposition, they cave into the enemy and they take the easy way out. Do not take the easy way out. I know it's tough, and I know you're frustrated, and I know you're discouraged, and I know you want to run, but don't take the easy way out. This is a big temptation. It's one of the strongest temptations, the temptation to escape your problems and go the easy way. And I promise you this, there will always be an easy way out. Whenever you're trying to do what's right, the devil will always be there right beside you, holding up a sign saying, "This way to the easy way out." There will always be an easy way out. When you're serving God through a difficult time, there will always be opportunities in your life to do the opposite of what God is telling you to do. When you decide that you're going to be healthy and you're going to eat right, Krispy Kreme is going to give away free donuts for life. They're going to offer rides on the conveyor belt where they just drench you in the sugar. All right. Listen, whenever you make a decision to do what's right, the enemy's always going to offer you an opportunity to do plan B. Okay, when you decide to fast and pray and seek God for a week, your company's going to decide to cater in free lunch for every employee for 1 week only. When you feel convicted about drinking alcohol and you say, "Okay, God, I'm going to give up drinking," guess what's going to happen? Your favorite beer is going to go on sale. That's how the enemy works. When you're persevering and serving God and doing what's right, there's always going to be an easy way out that the enemy will present you. You see, not every opposition is from the devil and not every opportunity is from God. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's right. David was tired and David was frustrated and he wanted an easy fix. David said, "I can't deal with this anymore. I just need some relief." So what did David do? He went to the land of the Philistines. Verse 2, "Then David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath." David did an unthinkable thing. David left Israel and he went and lived in the land of the enemy. Why do people always run to the enemy when they're under pressure? That's what David did. He went to live among the Philistines. And in Israel, this was a very scandalous thing, because not only had God commanded them not to dwell in the land of the Philistines, but the Philistines hated the Israelites. They had stolen from the Israelites. They had murdered the Israelites. And now here was David joining them. This was an unthinkable thing to do, but it wasn't difficult for David because he had done it before. You see, this wasn't the first time that David ran away to the Philistines, because earlier in chapter 21, when David and his men were hungry and they couldn't find any bread, they went running to Gath to the king of the Philistines. And what happened? David was humiliated before the enemy. David made a fool out of himself. And yet, here is David again, making the same mistake. And there's a warning in this for you and me, because one act of spiritual compromise, no matter how small, makes it easier to compromise the next time. I want you to see that. One act of compromise now, no matter how small it is, will make it easier to compromise again the next time. Even a tiny step in the wrong direction makes it easier to take a bigger step sooner or later. Uh-huh. And here's something else. When you compromise, it always affects other people. Yes. Don't tell me that it doesn't, because I know that it does. There is always collateral damage when you take the easy way out. You see, when David went to Gath, he wasn't just gambling with his own life, because 600 men and their families followed him there. When you compromise, it always affects other people. And you can justify it all you want, saying, well, nobody's getting hurt. Mark my words, somebody is or somebody will be hurt by that wrong decision. Why did David run to the Philistines? Because he wanted to take the easy way out. And do you know what happened when David took the easy way out? Things got easier. Y'all thought I was going to say things got worse. No, things got a lot better for David. He took the easy way out. He compromised. And instantly, overnight, all of that pressure and all that stress just disappeared. That's how the enemy works. So the Bible says that when David went to Gath, that Saul stopped pursuing him. So David got the relief he wanted. David took the easy way out, and it felt good. It felt real good. And if anybody tells you that sin is not fun, they lied. Sin feels good. There is pleasure in sin. Compromise is exciting. You can get a rush when you compromise your standards. You can get a rush when you take the easy way out. It feels good for a little while. Even the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. You see, it'll be fun in the beginning, but the fun won't last forever. David lived among the Philistines for 16 months, and life seemed to be getting better and better for David. Saul stopped chasing him. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles that men were deserting Saul's army, and they were coming to the Philistines, and they were joining up with David. David had favor with the king of Gath, and the Philistines even gave him his own city that he could rule over. David had it made. It was fun for a season, but the fun didn't last forever. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But things to remember when you want to run. Number one, focus on the promise, not the problem. Number two, don't take the easy way out. Number three, surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with the right people. Listen, I've been there. I know when you're tired and you're frustrated and you're discouraged and you're exhausted, you just want somebody to help you. Somebody, anybody, I don't care. I just want somebody to help me right now. That's another attack of the enemy on your life, because when you're looking for anybody, the devil's going to send you somebody. Surround yourself with the right people. David should have been in Israel with the people of God, but instead he was living among the Philistines. David surrounded himself with people who lie, who steal, and who murder. And guess what David started doing? He started lying. He started stealing. He started killing people. Don't tell me that you're strong enough that you can be around that and you're not going to get sucked into it, because we are who we are around. When you're thinking about running, you better surround yourself with the right people. The Bible says that David would go out and they would raid the neighboring villages. And what they were doing is they were stealing from other Philistines. And what they would do is they would go and they would plunder the villages and they would kill everybody. You see how quickly David went from stealing to murder? They killed everybody in the village because they didn't want to leave any witnesses. And when the king of Gath said, David, what happened? Where have you been raiding? He said, oh, I've been raiding the Israelites. You see, he lied to cover up his sin. It's a slippery slope. One small compromise in your life can lead to a big compromise down the road. And because David surrounded himself with the wrong people, he went further and further and further away from God. I'm sure that if you had asked David at any point when he was living in Ziklag, David, why have you turned your back on God? David would have said, no, me and God, we're good. Mm-hmm. We're okay. I just got a situation. You see, what had happened was things weren't going right in Israel, so I just got to move to Ziklag. I got to live in the land of the Philistines for a little while, but no, me and God, we're okay. But the Bible says, though you think you stand, you better watch out because you're about to fall. David had betrayed the God who gave him life and didn't even realize it. Because you see, when you compromise, you don't just lie to other people. You lie to yourself. In fact, you're probably the first person that you lie to. You have to convince yourself and talk yourself and somehow justify the compromise that you're living in. And that's what David did. He betrayed God. Because he put himself around the wrong people. And I've known good, godly people. People who loved God, who worshiped God, who served the Lord, who were involved in church, who did good things. People who were making a difference. Until one wrong person walked into their life. You see, when you're tired and you're exhausted and you just want help, you better be careful where you look for help. Be careful who you let into your life because one wrong person can wreak havoc and destruction on your life and on your faith. I observed this when I was working for a regional bank. When I got out of college, I was working in banking. And one of my assignments, they sent me to all throughout the region. Whenever they had a staff shortage, they would send me to fill the shortage. And I noticed that I could be in 10 different banks doing the same exact job, working for the same exact company, the same type of customers, the same type of business transactions, and one place would be easy to work, and another place it was like pulling teeth out all day long. It was the most miserable place. Had nothing to do with the company, had nothing to do with the workload. Sometimes it was less work in the difficult places and more work in the easy places. Let me tell you what the difference was. It was the people who worked there. One wrong person. You don't realize how much damage one wrong relationship can have in your life. Be careful who you surround yourself. I'm not talking about casual friends. Listen, we ought to all be getting out there, getting to know people in the world to share the love of Jesus with them. I'm talking about who do you bring into your inner circle? Who do you allow to speak into your life? You've got to be careful who you surround yourself with. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Uh-huh. Well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm surrounding myself with the wrong person? Let me ask you this. How do you feel after you've been around them? Does this person draw you closer to God, or do they pull you further into the world? What kind of stuff do you laugh at when you're around them? Ooh, better keep going. Do they encourage you to stand strong? Or do they encourage you to compromise? Do they remind you about the promises of God? Or do they bring up the easy way out? Do they build people up? Or do they tear people down? Oh, I could stay on this one a long time. Listen, if you're hanging around somebody that's always talking about other people, guess what? They're talking about you too. I'll do a series on that later. I don't have time today. Do they build people up or do they tear people down? Is this person an angry person? Listen, we all get angry because we all drive in Goldsboro. We all get angry sometimes. But some people stay angry. Some people are just always mad and you never know what's going to set them off. We read that in the Bible 3 weeks ago. It says, do not go with an angry person. Does this person fuel your bad habits? If you tell them, I'm going to stop drinking, and they say, I'll drink to that, they're probably not a good influence in your life. Okay, does this person fuel your bad habits? Do they make it easy to slip back? Does this person feed your strengths? Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Well, I'm almost done this morning. last point as the worship team comes. Things to remember when you want to run. Number one, focus on the promise, not the problem. Number two, don't take the easy way out. Number three, surround yourself with the right people. And number four, my last point this morning, understand that the longer you run, the more it will cost you. The longer you run, the more it will cost you. You see, David took the easy way out and things got better in his life for a little while. But eventually the time came for him to pay the price. Compromise always comes at a cost. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. David had fun for a while, but there came a day when David had to pay the tab. You see, one day, Achish, the king of Gath, king of the Philistines, he came to David and said, David, I'm going to serve notice on you that today you're going into battle with me. Now, David was a smart guy. David understood that this was not a suggestion. He had been living off the Philistines' dime. He had been living in their city, eating from their land, and he knew that the king of Gath said, David, it's time for you to pay up what you owe me. So today, you are going into battle with me. David said, okay, who are we fighting today? And he said, we're fighting the Israelites. We're going into battle to destroy Israel. Think about it. Here was the very man who had been anointed to be the king of Israel. I can imagine David never would have thought he would be standing there that day. I've heard so many people say this over and over and over again. I never thought that would be me. I never saw myself doing that. But David had one of those moments. The man who had been anointed to be the king of Israel was getting ready to go into a battle to become the enemy of the people that he had sworn to protect. You see, when you're on the run, you will eventually arrive at the crossroads of extreme compromise. Starts out fun. It feels good in the beginning, but eventually you'll find yourself doing things that you swore you would never do. Proverbs 16:25 reminds us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. The longer you run, the more it will cost you. Will you stand to your feet as we get ready to close? Some of you, you're here this morning, and you've had running on your mind. Some of you, you're tired, you're discouraged, you're weary, you're overwhelmed, and you've been thinking to yourself, it would be so easy if I just ran from my problems right now. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time to take off the running shoes. It's time to take off the running shoes. Maybe you've been going through a difficult season in your marriage, and with every argument, with every frustration, you're just tying the shoes tighter, saying, I'm getting ready to run. I'm out the door. Listen to me this morning. It's time to take the running shoes off in Jesus' name. Running might make you feel better for a little while, but the further you run, the more it's going to cost you. Listen, just because you run away from your problem now doesn't mean that's going to fix the problem later. Because I've seen people run away from a bad marriage and they run to somebody else and all they do is build a bad marriage all over again and they do the same thing again and the same thing again. They have a little bit of problem in the workplace and they run from that job and they run to another place and then they eventually realize that the problem wasn't the other people they work with. Running might make you feel better for a little while, but running won't fix anything. And this morning, it's time to take off the running shoes. Stop making plans to go to the land of the Philistines. Stay where God's placed you in this season. Maybe you're here today, and like David, you've already been on the run. Listen to me this morning. It's time to stop running. David had fun for a season, but everything came crashing down in that one moment when the king of Gath said, "You're going with me into battle against Israel." And when David made the decision that day to stop running, God intervened in his life. But listen to me, David went through a lot of suffering and a lot of pain. Him and his family and his friends too. All because he ran as far as he did. Listen, don't cause any more pain. Don't cause any more damage. Some of y'all have already had to pay the price for running. Even in this season, you're miserable. You're banging your head against the wall. You're frustrated. You're angry because you're dealing with the consequences of compromise in your life. Listen, stop running today. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth and ninth and 500th chances. Our God is a God of second chances. I know that. But listen, the longer you run, the more it's going to cost you. Stop running. Stop running today. Today is the day to stop running. Today is the day to start trusting in God. Will you pray with me this morning? God, I pray for those who are here today who have been on the run. God, I pray for them. Lord, I know they're hurting. I know they're frustrated. God, I know they've lost some things along the way. I know they've given up a lot by living a life of sin and a life of compromise. But God, I pray that you would give them the boldness and the grace today, God, to stop running. To stop running from their problems, but God, that they would take the faith today to make up their mind. I'm going to start trusting God today. Father, give them the boldness and the faith, God, to trust in you this morning. And God, I pray for those who've been thinking about running. Lord, I pray that you would be with them today. God, that they would take off the running shoes and they would make up their mind. I'm going to stay and I'm going to fight because it's not me, it's the Spirit of God inside of me. And even when I don't have the strength to fight, my God, the Lord my God is mighty in battle. God, may they look to you this morning to find the strength to persevere and to stand. God, give them the wisdom to know, God, that the easy way out really isn't the easy way out. It's only the path to more heartache and pain. God, may they not make a permanent decision based on a temporary problem. But God, may they trust in you through this season. Father, I pray for those here today who've been running from you. They're not serving you. They're not living a life of obedience to you. They're not following you. God, I pray this morning, God, that they would stop running. That they would put their faith in you. They would trust you as their Savior and Lord this morning. God, that they would give their life to you and wholly follow you. God, touch them now by your Holy Spirit. God, draw them to the foot of the cross today. May they give their life to you because you gave your all for them. I thank you, Lord, that you love us enough that you came running after us, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. I thank you that you loved us enough to die for us. And I thank you, God, that you proved for all eternity that the sacrifice was accepted. You raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive, and he reigns forever. God, give that one the boldness this morning to put their faith in you today. To stop running from you and to start running to you this morning. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer today to help you make that decision to follow Jesus. I want you to pray this prayer with me. In fact, let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, I'm not running anymore, but I come to you today just the way that I am. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Savior. I believe you're the way. And Jesus, I ask you in this moment, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Make me brand new. In Jesus' name. with your help, I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.